Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we are diving into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics in the entire specification, wealth and poverty. Whether you're studying Christianity, Islam, or both, this topic is absolutely central to how religions understand justice, responsibility, and what it means to live a good life. So, let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to define key terms like stewardship, zakah, and social justice. You'll understand what the major world religions actually teach about money and giving. You'll know how to tackle those tricky 12-mark evaluation questions, and you'll have a handful of really solid quotes and named examples ready to drop into your answers. Sound good? Let's go. Section 1. The big picture. What do religions say about wealth? Now, the first thing to get clear in your head is this. Religions don't say that wealth itself is evil. That's a really common misconception, and it's one that will lose you marks if you repeat it in an exam. What religions actually teach is that wealth brings responsibility. The question isn't whether you have money, it's what you do with it. Let's start with Christianity. The Bible has a lot to say about money, and much of it is quite challenging. One of the most famous quotes comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 24, where Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, what does that mean? It means that if wealth makes you selfish, if it stops you from caring about others, then it becomes a spiritual problem. It's not the money itself, it's the love of money, the greed, the hoarding. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Note that carefully. The love of money, not money itself. Christians also talk about the concept of stewardship. This is a really important term. Stewardship means that humans are caretakers of God's creation. We don't own our wealth, we're managing it on God's behalf. And that means we have a duty to use it wisely and generously. The concept of agape is also crucial here. Agape is the Greek word for unconditional, selfless love, the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes it beautifully. Christians are called to show agape through acts of charity and justice. Now, let's look at Islam. Islam has a very structured and practical approach to wealth and poverty. One of the five pillars of Islam, the absolute core obligations of every Muslim, is zakah. Zakah is the requirement to give 2.5% of your annual savings to those in need. Think about that. It's not optional. It's not a nice thing to do if you feel like it. It is a religious duty, as fundamental as prayer or fasting. The word zakah itself means purification. The idea is that giving away a portion of your wealth purifies the rest of it. Beyond zakah, there is sadaqah, voluntary charity. Muslims are encouraged to give generously beyond the minimum, at any time, in any amount. The Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, "Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, their reward is with their Lord." Islam also teaches that wealth is an amanah, a trust from Allah. You haven't earned your wealth entirely through your own efforts. Allah has blessed you with it, and you are accountable for how you use it. This is why riba, charging interest on loans, is forbidden in Islam. Interest traps poor people in debt and increases inequality. Islamic finance promotes fairness and sharing of risk.
Section 2. Causes of poverty and why they matter for your exam. Examiners love to ask about the causes of poverty because it tests whether you understand the social justice dimension of religious teaching. So let's run through the main ones. War and conflict destroy infrastructure, displace millions of people, and disrupt food supplies. Think of countries like Yemen or Syria. Decades of conflict have created some of the worst poverty on earth. Natural disasters, floods, droughts, earthquakes can wipe out a community's entire livelihood overnight. Climate change is making these events more frequent and more severe. Debt is a massive structural cause of poverty. Many developing nations owe billions of pounds to wealthy countries and international banks. The interest payments alone consume money that could be spent on schools and hospitals. Corruption means that even when aid money arrives, it can be misused by governments or officials, never reaching the people who need it. lack of education limits people's ability to find work and improve their situation. And unfair trade means that rich nations often pay very low prices for goods from developing countries, keeping workers in poverty. Now, here's the key exam point. Religions don't just ask individuals to be generous. They call for systemic change, for the structures of society to be made more just. This is what we mean by social justice. It's not enough to give someone a meal. You need to challenge the systems that left them hungry in the first place, in the first place. Section 3. Religious organisations in action. You need to know specific named examples of organisations that put religious teaching into practice. Let me give you three brilliant ones. First, CAFOD, the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. Founded in 1962 by the Catholic Church in England and Wales, CAFOD provides both emergency relief and long-term development support. It is inspired by Catholic social teaching, which includes the principle of the preferential option for the poor, the idea that God has a special concern for those who are suffering, and so should we. Second, Islamic Relief. Founded in 1984 in Birmingham, yes, right here in the UK, Islamic Relief delivers zakah and sadaqah to over 40 countries around the world. It is guided by Islamic principles of justice, which in Arabic is adl, and compassion, which is rahmah. Islamic Relief is a brilliant example of how a religious obligation becomes a global humanitarian operation. Third, Christian Aid. Founded in 1945 after the devastation of World War II, Christian Aid works in over 50 countries. What makes Christian Aid distinctive is that it doesn't just provide emergency relief, it campaigns for systemic change. It lobbies governments, challenges unfair trade rules, and advocates for climate justice. This reflects the Christian call to address the root causes of poverty, not just the symptoms. Section 4. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to actually get the marks. The most common mistake I see in religious studies answers is what I call description without evaluation. A student writes a list of what Christians believe, a list of what Muslims believe, and then stops. But the question asks, how far do you agree, or to what extent? And without a clear judgment, you cannot reach the top level. You must make a decision and defend it. Second mistake, vague references. Saying the Bible says you should be kind will not impress an examiner. Saying Matthew 19:24 teaches that attachment to wealth can prevent spiritual growth, that gets marks. Always use specific quotes, specific references, specific named examples. Third mistake, treating all religious views as identical. Christianity and Islam have different emphases. Christianity focuses heavily on agape, stewardship, and the example of Jesus. Islam has a more structured, obligatory system through zakah. Both are important, and examiners reward candidates who can distinguish between them. For a 12-mark question, you need to present at least two developed arguments on one side, at least one developed counter-argument, and a clear, justified conclusion. Use the structure point, evidence, explain, evaluate. P-E-E-E. Not just P-E, but P-E-E-E. That extra E for evaluate is what takes you to the top band.
Section 5. Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover up your notes and see if you can answer these. Ready? Question 1. What percentage of savings must Muslims give as zakah? 2.5%. Question 2. What does the word zakah mean? Purification. Question 3. Name the Catholic Development Organization founded in 1962. CAFOD. Question 4. What is agape? Unconditional, selfless love, a key Christian concept. Question 5. What is riba and why is it forbidden in Islam? Riba is interest on loans.
It is forbidden because it increases inequality and traps the poor in debt. Question 6. Name two causes of poverty. Any two from war and conflict, natural disasters, debt, corruption, lack of education, unfair trade. How did you do? If you got all six, brilliant, you are well on your way. If you missed a few, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. Let's bring it all together. Wealth and poverty is a topic that asks you to think deeply about justice, responsibility, and what it means to live according to religious values. Both Christianity and Islam teach that wealth is not evil in itself, but that it brings serious moral obligations. Christians emphasize stewardship, agape, and the example of Jesus. Muslims emphasize zakah, sadaqah, and the concept of wealth as a trust from Allah. Both traditions support organizations like CAFOD, Christian Aid, and Islamic Relief that work to address poverty at both an individual and a systemic level. In your exam, remember, specific quotes, named examples, developed arguments, and a clear judgment. That is the formula for top marks. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, keep believing in yourself, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck.